Blog Talk Radio.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.
Real talk.
Fire to talk about what that set life is like. Hey, jump on it, 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Listen, happy Black History Month. Yep. Black History Month, roll call, full effect. Listen, what or who is, you know, what's your favorite Black thing? Who's your favorite Black person? Like, who do you look up to? Who do you admire? You know, what's your favorite Black stuff? That's all we're talking about in the month of February and beyond, right? Because every day is Black History Day. We don't just reserve the month. But let's get into it. Special guest tonight, a friend to this show, certainly a friend of mine. We go way back. He's doing big things right now. A lot of you all know the NBC drama, Chicago Fire. It's a spinoff. I mean, man, it's a lot of Chicago's. It's like Chicago PD, Chicago Med, Chicago Justice. We know executive producer Dick Wolf. He got all the money, or maybe not all the money, but he got a lot of the money. Chicago Fire, it premiered back in 2012, first episode. Listen, it's about firefighters, rescue, the rescue squad, paramedics of, it's the Firehouse 51, I believe. Man, they band together. You know, they save people's lives. And, I mean, they live life on the edge as we watch the team of Firehouse 51 every week do their thing. But, man, my dude Samuel, keep it professional, Samuel Martin, has been working on this project for quite some time. So I'm going to pause for the calls, introduce my brother to the show. What's good, man? Yo, how
What's
much
up?
Snow is in Chicago right now, Sam? Because it's burly in Atlanta, so it's got to be grizzly in Chicago.
It's cold, man. We got about 10 inches, something like that.
10? 10.
Yeah,
listen,
man.
Listen, I was watching the news
cold.
And saw that it was like 11 inches in Queens. And my girl is from Queens, hanging out. Her birthday's today. She's hanging out with me here in Atlanta. She's like, she's supposed to go to New York. She's like, pause.
Oh.
It's like 20. It feel like it's 25 right now here in Atlanta.
Right.
But,
they
man,
hit hard.
Hey, welcome to the show, bro. Officially introduce yourself to the folks.
Thank you, man. Thank you, man. Samuel O. Martin, you know, trying to be one of the best actors in the world right now. But, you know, it's pretty slow, but I'm moving on up.
You definitely moving up, bro. I think the last time you was on the show, you know, you was really getting, just starting to get hot and heavy, you know, in your auditions and doing your thing. You know, you definitely came
right,
up, bro.
Right.
I mean, you had a speaking role, you know, here recently. I was like, my guy.
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to show that, man. It should be coming on like next Wednesday on the 10th. I haven't got the official date yet, but that's what it's looking like. So, you know, I'll make sure I put that out there once I get the official date.
No doubt. But, Sam, Chicago Fire is not the only project that you've worked on. You've done some stuff with Empire, Chicago Med. Tell us about your repertoire of projects, man.
Yeah. I've done pretty much all the Chicago shows, man. You know, and I've been doing a lot of background extra work here on all the shows in Chicago. I started doing it like in 2015. And that's why it was a blessing for me to get this one speaking part with Chicago Fire, because my actual very first extra role here in Chicago was on Chicago Fire. So, you know, when I go there, I just feel like I'm at home.
No.
You know what I mean? It's
family.
It's nice. Yeah.
No doubt. So you said that you've done work on all of the Chicago projects. So is it automatic that if you work on one, you'll be, you know, it's an easy door into the other one? Tell us how that works.
No, I mean, you still have to apply. Like I did a lot of background extra work and features, but it's like you still have to apply for each one separately. It's not like, you know, I get booked on Chicago Fire and then I automatically can get booked on PD. It doesn't actually work like that. You got to actually apply for each one, you know, and when you're background acting, you don't have to audition. Unless it's sometimes if it's a feature, they'll have you audition. But, you know, for the speaking roles, you have to definitely audition and you have to have an agent. And if you don't have an agent, you know, you're not going to get in the door for an audition. And so I was just blessed to, this was like my third time auditioning for Chicago Fire in the last few years. So the third one was a charm and I finally booked a speaking part. And I'm excited, man, just waiting to see it because I haven't seen it yet, you know.
Yeah, you should be excited, man. Like you said, you've come up, you put in the work, and those auditions are not easy. I mean, I'm here in Atlanta, and, I mean, auditions take place all the time. I mean, I'm not an aspiring actor, but, you know, I know for a fact it's a competitive environment because, you know, they have so many people here in Atlanta that's trying to break in. Now, one thing you called out, you said you are doing a background. You don't have to audition. You just have to apply. So help us understand what that application process is like for being a background extra.
Well, basically, you would just have to, like, say for Chicago Fire, you would basically, you can pull up the Chicago Fire's Facebook page, and you can go on their site, and you can just go ahead and register and send your pictures in, and then you can check that site every day, and they'll tell you what they're looking for, you know, specifically African-American male, Caucasian male, age 20 to 30, age, you know, 40s, whatever, and you just basically submit your pictures for that whatever role you're trying to book, you know, and once you send that email to them, Chicago Fire, they'll call you if they're interested. You know, the director picks everybody's pictures, so pretty much if you're someone, they're like, okay, you know, he could play this part or whatnot, they'll call you and say, hey, are you available on this day? You know, and you yay or nay, you know, and then they'll tell you what time you got to be wherever, where you're shooting, all that information is classified, and you get that in the email. And then you just need to show up, and sometimes you might have to do a wardrobe, you know, fitting before then. So you'll go like a couple days before and do a wardrobe fitting or whatnot and show up on your day and get to work, man.
No doubt. Now, Sam, I remember when we were working together back in the day, we were in a Verizon vendor call center.
Right, I remember that.
Know that you wanted to be an actor? Did you want to act even back then when we was taking retention and sales calls?
Yeah, man, I actually did, but I just never pursued it back then. Like back then, it was kind of like, you know I got to take some acting classes or whatnot, and I'm just, you know, working, trying to make a living, man. And one day I just woke up, man. I was like, it's time for me to start taking some acting classes, man. And I looked up an acting class in Virginia. So I actually took acting classes in Virginia before I moved to Chicago, you know, and my teacher, you know, I love her. Her name's Sandy Martin Hudgens. She had an acting school called Hudgens Creative down in Norfolk, Virginia. And I took
her
class.
Shout out to Hudgens Creative.
Yes, sir. She is not open no more, but she, I think she moved somewhere. She moved out of state, but you know, she's one of my Facebook friends too, and she's been telling me, you know, like she's proud of me, and I'm like, you know, thank you for everything you taught me, because it's all coming together behind the camera. You know what I mean? Like she taught me everything.
Indeed.
Our class was great. Yeah.
Indeed. So that's awesome, bro. That you actually took those steps back then, really just pursuing a passion internally, having no clue where it would lead to years later.
Right, right. Definitely, man. I had no clue. You know, my goal was to book a speaking role on Chicago Fire. That's just one of my goals. But, you know, ever since I went on set, man, it was like I got that bug where it was like, I love being on set. I always want to be on set. You know what I mean? And it all just started coming together, man. Now I'm just trying to book some more speaking roles. You know what I mean? This was my first one, but I'm trying to book some more. You know what I mean?
How intimidating was it being on set the first time? You realize the dream, you get the opportunity, now you're there. I mean, how intimidating was that first experience?
You know what? It actually, I wasn't intimidated. I would say driving to set, because I live about an hour away almost, I was thinking like, man, I might be nervous. You know, this is my first speaking one, you know, blah, 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 blah. But when I got there, I felt comfortable because I saw a lot of faces I knew because I did a lot of background extra work on there. So it's like I know a lot of the, you know, production assistants and assistant directors and stuff like that. So it's like some of us knew each other but they didn't know I was Samuel Martin, and I didn't know they were their names. And when we saw each other, it's like, oh, that was you. I was like, oh, it's you. Oh, man, what's up? You know, and it was kind of like, oh, I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you, man. I didn't know it was you. Like, yeah. I was like, man, it's me, you know. But, I wasn't, you know, once I got there, I wasn't nervous at all, man. Everything flowed, and, you know, I felt like somebody.
That's awesome, man. That is unbelievable. Let me switch gears just a little bit and talk about the current environment. How has the unrest in the country and the political environment impacted the Set? Is it tension within, you know, races and culture on Set like it is, you know, in other parts of the country, or is it just a whole different dynamic within production?
Well, you know, when I was on Set, I didn't feel any type of tension, or especially racial tension. I mean, there, man, it's like everybody is one team, and you know, our job is just to get this production on the road and get this thing done today. You know, that's what everybody's trying to do. So I didn't feel any type of tension or whatnot. Now with the COVID-19, that has changed a lot of things on Set. I mean, because they're trying to make sure everybody's safe. So it's like, you know, you got to take several COVID tests before you even go on Set. And if you with COVID-19, you know, of course they're not going to let you film. So for 2 weeks, I was taking COVID tests like a week before and the week of, all the way up until my actual shoot date. So, you know, I probably took about 7 COVID tests or something like that before I even shot, you know. So, but everybody's safe, you know. That's one thing. You know, we like the fact that we have to do that because they're making sure everybody is safe. You know what I mean? And you know that everybody's on Set with you is negative, you know. So it makes a big difference, but it changed a lot of things. I mean, they book less people, they book less extras. You know, there's not as many people. They don't have as many big scenes as they used to, you know, with a lot of people. So they had to take that precaution. You know, everybody has to stay 6 feet apart, wear your mask. You know, they really strict about that. So I felt very safe.
As they should.
Absolutely. I felt very safe.
That's good. I mean, that's good to hear. I interact with folks here in Atlanta that go back and forth off of Tyler Perry's Set as well. And he's doing the same thing. I'll tell you something that threw me off recently, though, and I was a little disturbed by the idea of it. But it was, you know, someone who needed to be on Set. And, you know, I get it. We all need to work, right? We all need our coins. But, you know, this was someone who was soliciting someone else to take a test for them, so that they could go work.
Oh man! So why would you do that?
You know, why would you do that, brother? And then I'm telling you, for me, in my mind, I'm like, why would you want to bring that onto the Set and impact everybody else? But the flip side of that is this, Sam. It's like, that's how bad it is that people need to work. So I felt like I was between a rock and a hard place about how I felt about it. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Because, I mean, people need to work. But to me, it's selfish to want to impact other people like that, you know?
Right, because, you know, I look at the fact, like, you know, when you wear your mask, stay 6 feet, you're doing everything you're supposed to do, it's still a possibility you could catch the COVID. So by doing those things, you're protecting me and you, you know, yourself and the other person. You know, so
absolutely.
I just try to, you know, I try to stay my distance and do what I got to do. You know what I mean?
Since we're talking about COVID, I'm going to ask you flat out, Sam. Vaccine is available to you right now. Are you taking it?
I'm going to be honest with you, brother. I'm not trusting it right now. You know, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I mean, if they tell me, like, yo, man, you know,
I need 20 million to take it before me. Yeah, I need 20 million people to take it first. I need about 20 million to take it first.
Right. I'm trying to see the side effects, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm trying to see the side. If they say I have to, I ain't going to make it, I'll do it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right. I mean, I just don't. I need to make sure. It's one, it's too many of them, right? You got Moderna, you got Pfizer, you got Johnson & Johnson, and you got other people coming online, you know, constantly. So you don't know who's getting what, right? So, yeah, we just need to give it some time, folks. Give it to everybody who
right.
wants it first. Let's just
right,
see how,
right.
they, you know, how they respond to it. There we go.
Hey, that's where I'm at with it, bro. That's where I'm at with it, man. You know, I don't wish it on nobody. I mean, because, you know, it's real and – you know, I've had a family member on my wife's side that passed from it, and, you know, and it's sad, man, you know, so you just got to stay safe. I tell everybody, stay safe, you know, to do what you got to do. If you got to work, whatever, just try to keep your 6 feet or whatnot, but, you know, you never know, you know.
No doubt. You definitely never know. So you got to be safe and pay attention, folks. Do the right thing. Protect yourselves and protect those that you love around you. Sam, executive producer Dick Wolf offers an edge of your seat view into the lives of everyday heroes who seem to be committed to America's most noblest profession. When you talk about Firehouse 51, how much of the characters that you all portray in the work that actually really goes on, how much of that is truly who you are?
Oh, most of the time, well, I can't say too much, you know, about anything upcoming. But, I mean, if you have a speaking role, of course, you're playing a whole nother character. You know what I mean? But, like, you know, as a background, you know, I could be pretty much anybody. You know, I could be a firefighter, I could be a pedestrian, you know what I mean? I could be just, you know, somebody sitting at a desk. It just depends on where you're needed and what role is available and what role you applied for that they feel that you could play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, absolutely. So really, average everyday people ultimately, you know, is who you're representing. When I think of the show itself, though, right, I mean, you say you've done all of the Chicago projects. But to me, it's just something special about Firehouse 51. I mean, man, they run right smack dab into danger, right? I mean, they don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, the choices they make, you know, again, it's about somebody living or dying, and they going to choose for people to live, right? I mean,
oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, how much of that is like, you know, who you are, racing, you know, into a firehouse, into a burning building, right? To save a human being. That's crazy to me, man.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, people really don't realize that, you know, like real firefighters, that's a dangerous job. Like they risk their lives.
Facts.
Just like police risk their lives, they risk their lives every day. And I know, because as a military veteran in the Navy, I had to learn to fight fires in the Navy. So, you know, our training was running in a burning building, you know what I mean, on base. You know, so it's like, I mean, I feel like I could do it for real because I've done it in the Navy, you know what I mean? So,
right.
I got a lot of respect for firefighters. I almost became one myself.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, rescue squad, paramedics, firefighters, hey, we love and respect you all. Dude, you're in Chicago where the death rates for black-on-black crime is unbelievable in Chicago and has been for years. Like, what is going on? And, like, what's the plan? I know Mayor Lightfoot is trying to, you know, implement a lot of new initiatives. You know, the governor, I don't know about too much. But, I mean, what is your perspective on what the hell is going on in Chicago?
I mean, I feel like, and really, I think sometimes people look at Chicago like, oh, you know, it's a bunch of killings and this and that. Chicago is a beautiful city. You know what I mean?
Indeed.
You can be in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, and things can happen, but also things can happen right in front of your door or just riding down the street, depending on where you at.
Anywhere.
I mean,
right.
And it's not just Chicago. I mean, like sometimes people, I feel like they bash Chicago like that, but like me, man, I love Chicago. You know what I mean? Like, I love this place. But it's like, you just can't be out there doing some of the things you're doing and expect nothing not to happen. You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't feel like it's a bad city. You know what I mean? I feel like I love this place. So it's kind of like, you know, and I, you know, I wasn't born and raised here. I've been here like 16 years, but you know, I was born down south. So it's kind of like, you know, I have the southern hospitality, but at the same time, I have the other side as well. So, you know,
yeah.
It's all about respect, you know.
It is certainly all about respect. I mean, and I think when it comes to Chicago, I mean, hands down, we have to admit that the murder rate is certainly unbalanced, it seems. But what I've learned over the years is that the murder rate in Chicago seems to be, it's not like it's all over Chicago. It's really kind of a specific area that sees that high crime, which is unfortunate. I don't know a whole lot about Chicago, but some of it seems like it's somewhat intentional. And I know that's
crazy. Yeah, I mean, like,
say, but
you know, like every city has every city has its good parts and bad parts. But the way I look at it, I mean, if they create more jobs, a lot of these crimes probably wouldn't be happening. It'll probably, I'm thinking, you know, if they create more jobs, it'll be less crime. That's how I look at it. But, you know,
yeah,
to each his own.
No, that's real. You know? No. That's a huge call out in urban cities all across America. If there's more jobs, more opportunity, there's less crime, and that's just facts. That's just
right.
Facts.
Right. And some areas have a little more opportunity than others. You know what I'm saying? And that's just how it is.
Absolutely. Bro, for you said something earlier. You said you made a decision that you just said, I'm going to pursue my acting passion. You went and took acting classes. Now years into the game, right? I mean, several Chicago projects behind you, MD, PD, Med, MD, Justice behind you. What would you tell your younger self about the game today based on what you know?
You know what? Man, I would tell my younger self to be, like, I wish I had been more self-disciplined and started at an earlier age. So I would tell my younger self, like, yo, yeah, like, I would tell my younger self, like, you know, have self-discipline, go after your goals, don't let anybody stop you from following your dreams, because there's always somebody saying, oh, man, he ain't going to do that, or he can't do that. You know, you can't worry about what other people say. You just have to do what you got to do, you know. And I'll tell you something, too, Terrence, man. Before I actually landed that speaking part, I was to the point where I was like, man, I'm about to go back to the corporate world. You know, I was like, I was in the hospital for like however many days, and I lost about 3 weeks of work, and I just felt like, I was like, man, maybe I'm doing these flex jobs, working for like Amazon, and, you know, doing Lyft, driving Lyft and all that. And I'm just like, maybe I just need to go back to the corporate world. I ain't booking nothing, blah, 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 blah. I went as far as to speaking with somebody at my old job who had human resources call me asking me if I can come in for an interview. Now, I just did the audition for Chicago Fire, so my agent calls me like the next day, and like he's like, Chicago, they want you on hold. Chicago Fire wants you on hold. I was like, oh, man. So I'm supposed to call the human resources lady back to let her know when we can go ahead and do this interview. Man, I said, I'm going to call her tomorrow. I'm like, I'm going to call her tomorrow, man. So then my agent, I called her. I talked to my wife about it first. And then I was like, I'm going to just call her and tell her, like, this ain't a good time for me to, you know, start. Maybe in the future if I need it, but I don't know. I still not knowing if I got the speaking part, but I'm like, man, no sooner than like probably 10 minutes, I'm riding down the street after I told her that, and then my agent calls, and I just said to myself, I said, Lord, if it's meant for me to get this one, let me get it. Man, my agent called and said, Sam, you got it. I was like, oh, my God.
Sam, you got it.
Hey, I was like,
right,
are you serious?
Right when you was about to give up.
You know, that's my thing. Like, that's what I would tell my younger self, man. Like, just don't stop. And I've gotten that advice from, you know, a professional actor on Chicago Med, Malik Whitfield. I met him, and I stood in for him one day and on set where I was like his stand-in double. And he told me the same thing, man. I asked him, what kind of advice can he give an upcoming actor? He said, just keep going, man. Don't let nobody stop you. Just keep going. Don't stop. You know, make sure your family's straight, you know, priorities first, and just keep going. So that's what I'm going to do.
Hey, you know? Keep going, bro. Stand by for me. We're going to pause for the calls, and we're going to get into this joint. It's called Basic from Official Cap B, and we're going to get right back into this conversation with you. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we got actor Samuel Martin. He's from Firehouse 51. Chicago Fire. Hey, it's the Social Lab Team Hop Radio. We'll be right back.
Look, mama, don't be basic. All that talent you got, girl, don't you waste it. The way you wobble and jiggle, the way you shake it. All that cake, I wanna taste it. I'm calling out a word today, I'm out of place sick. You ain't ever done it on the any in the spaceship. And he got your body bending, looking like you shake shook. OMG, girl, you don't make sense. Look, mama, don't be basic. All that talent you got, girl, don't you waste it. The way you wobble and jiggle, the way you shake it. All that cake, I wanna taste it. I'm calling up a word today, I'm out of place sick. You ain't ever done it on the innie in the spaceship. And he got your body bending, looking like you shake shit. OMG, girl, you don't make sense. The way you move your body, sort of like a snake did. Ooh, girl, you ain't nothing to play with. Every time I get a piece of you, I savor it. I can't deny you my favorite. All I can eat when you catering. Can't get enough of your flavoring. Girl, you're the best, no debating it. Ain't nothing left over, I ain't saving shit. Hey, I want it right now. Red light special with the top down. They watching now, give them something to talk about. They can put on my shoe, but they can't walk them out. Shorty won't give me two, they cost a couple thousand. Ain't got it to get it, so what you talk about? I just play my position and know it hold her down. And every time that I eat it, I go a couple rounds. Talk, love, mama, don't be basic. All that talent you got, girl, don't you waste it. The way you wobble and jiggle, the way you shake. All that cake, I wanna taste it. I'm calling up a word today, I'm about to play sick. You ain't never done it on the any in the spaceship. And he got your body bending, looking like you shake shit. OMG, girl, you don't make sense. So, look, mama, don't be basic. All that talent you got, girl, don't you waste it. The way you wobble and jiggle, the way you shake it. All that cake, I wanna taste it. I'm calling up a word today, I'm about to play sick. You ain't never done it on the any in the spaceship. And he got your body bending, looking like you shake shit. OMG, girl, you don't make sense. I taste it. I'm a plumber, I lay pipe, I do maintenance. The mother niggas ain't this, they just make shit. Five poodle lace shit. Roll up, mix the wrench with the girl patient. You been naughty and I'ma give you a spanking. We got no sheets attached, this relations. Pillow talk in your inbox, they be hating. They don't know what we built, they can't break it. I want it right now. Might not make it home, it's the lifestyle. Soon as I doubt, they know you getting piped down. Lights out, wave run another wipe out. Calm down, baby, don't be hostile. Stop out, full of perky, never tap out. I'ma make you pass out, I'ma make it worthwhile. How you feeling like the first time? Trust me, I know how to work, man. Talk, look, mama, don't be basic. All that talent you got, girl, don't you waste it. The way you wobble and jiggle, the way you shake it. All that cake, I wanna taste it. I'm calling up a word today, I'm out of place sick. You ain't never done it on the any in the spaceship. And he got your body bending, looking like you shake you. OMG, girl, you don't make sense. So, look, mama, don't be basic. All that talent you got, girl, don't you waste it. The way you wobble it, jiggle, the way you shake it. All that cake, I wanna taste it. I'm calling up a word today, I'm out of place sick. You ain't never done it on the any in the spaceship. And he got your body bending, looking like you shake you. OMG, girl, you don't make sense.
official Cap B. That song right there is called Basic. You can check it out on all streaming digital platforms. I prefer iTunes. You might prefer Spotify, you know, Pandora. Check it out. That's official Cap B, Basic. Actor Samuel Martin, Chicago
Fire.
The drop.
What's good?
He pulled up on us. Hey, and dude ain't going to ever give up. Got that new speaking role. Shining out there in Chicago, even though it's about 11 inches on the ground.
Yes.
Gosh. Bro, you say you've been out there for 16 years.
Yeah, this year is 16 years. Yeah. Yep. I think my body got used
winters,
to it.
Yo, you have to be used to it, bro. Because, like, it's, dude, I mean, that's a different kind of cold. I mean, I could do Brooklyn cold. I could do, you know, Manhattan cold. But that Chicago cold is a different kind of cold, bro.
Oh, yeah. They don't call it the Windy City for nothing. They don't call it the Windy City for nothing. Yeah, but, yeah, man, I think I just, you know, got used to it over the years because, you know, when I first got here, I think my first year, I think I got sick about four times the first week I was here. But you just got to learn how to dress for it. You just got to make sure you dress for it. That's all, you know, layer up.
No doubt. Hey, bro, I love the story that you just told before this last break because I think it represents resilience, right? Often we're trying to come up, we're trying to level up, and, you know, you said it. You know, we trying to do what we can to make ends meet, but at some point, you know, you have to figure out how long am I supposed to continue to do this, right? How long am I supposed to continue, you know, to go after my goal, right? I got bills to pay. I got kids to take care of. In some instances, we got spouses, right? We got girls.
Right.
It's like, wait a minute. Like, I mean, how long do I pursue my dream? I mean, you just gave us a real-time example that you just got to be willing to put in the work. Because if you put in the work at some point, see, I always believe this, bro. You get out what you put in. You get out what you
put in.
But sometimes it's like, God damn. Like, when am I going to get it out? When is it going to come back to me? What do you say to those who are trying to break into this game, bro? Because, I mean, hands down, it takes patience. It takes time. It's not easy.
Yeah, I mean, I would tell anybody trying to do it, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. You know what I mean? I'm not a big-time actor. You know, that's not how I look at myself. I still got a long way to go. You know, I landed a speaking role. I'm happy for that. But, man, I still got to keep going. I got to keep going. Just one speaking role ain't going to do it. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So I would tell people, you know, just – you know, keep going. Don't let nobody stop you. You know what I'm saying? Because people will, you know, they will persuade your mind to think that you can't do it, and only you can stop you. You know what I'm saying? So that's my advice. Only you can stop you.
Only
you, know, it
you
might be consequences.
Can stop you.
Yeah, it might be other things. You might have obstacles, but you just got to find a way to leap them obstacles. You know what I'm saying?
Who has been your mentor? Who are you leaning on when you're like, I don't know? Because we all I'm a believer in mentors. I'm a mentor for a lot of folks, and I've had mentors over the years that have helped me to stay focused when I was totally unfocused. Who
do
you have those beings, those people in your life?
You know what? I tell you this, I got a great support system, man. I got my wife, Angelique Martin, who, you know, we've been together 22 years. And
shout out.
She is like,
Mrs. Martin.
She's my, thank you. Yeah, she's my number one fan, man. And there's a lot of times when I start losing my head and she'll be like, baby, you got to look at the fact of what you already done. You know, you got to look at what you already done. You know, you can't be so hard on yourself. You know, she just be like, you too hard on yourself. You just got to keep going. Like, I don't really t- talk to any, and other than my wife, you know, it would be my mother, my family. You know, like I got a great support system with my mother, my sisters, my nieces, nephews, you know, cousin, all my family, even like my wife's side, that's my family. You know, her side as well as my side, I have a great support system. Like everybody always tell me, you know, do what you want to do. You know what I'm saying? You do you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing.
And that's important,
you know,
man. That's one support system is important, period, folks, because none of us can do anything on our own, right? Teamwork makes the dream work, and
exactly.
You need somebody on your side when it all falls down, right? Because it's not going to always be easy. So when it gets thick, you need somebody to be there beside you to root you on, to tell you, you know, you can do it, or to tell you it's going to be all right. But one thing I heard out of what you just said, it's about success, man. I think often, you know, we look at dollars to represent success, but success is defined differently for all of us. And success ultimately has nothing to do with finances at the end of the day. To me, success is tied to happiness. Success is tied to goals. Success is tied to, you know, when you can accomplish dreams that you never saw yourself doing, right? And it makes you fulfilled. Even if you broke is a joke, you feel good about it. You know what I'm saying? To me, you're still successful. So, you know, I think it's important that those who are listening to know that success is defined by you. You define your own success. And Sam, you just said it, bro. Don't let other people get in your head and tell you what they don't think you're able to do. To hell with them. You know what they really saying to you? They saying that they don't think they can do it. And just because they don't think they can do it, don't mean that you can't do it. You know what I'm saying? So don't let people get in your head. Straight up. That's good feedback right there.
Oh, yeah. And I look at it, too. You know, like, I mean, you know, I have a 29-year-old daughter. You know what I mean? So she's also watching what I do. So, you know, and as a father, you know, I want my daughter to be proud of me. So I'm going to keep pushing. She's one of my inspirations. You know what I mean? Shout out to my daughter, Shell.
Shout out, young queen.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, a lot of people, sometimes you got to find things that motivate you. And what motivate me is my family, man, on both sides.
That's what it's all about.
I feel like if I can do it, I can lead by example, and somebody else might want to do it. You know, it just gives positive energy, saying, hey, if he can do it, maybe I can do it. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So,
no doubt. No doubt. Hey, bro, tell folks how they can follow you. And man, again, you welcome here anytime, bro. You're a friend to the show. And, man, we just wish you much success. You know, I mean, continued success. We want to hear more speaking roles. We want to see you on more shows, even outside of Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm trying to make it to the ATL, too, now. I'm waiting for that post to say you either working here in Atlanta or you working out in Hollywood, bro. Because I mean, you on that path.
Yeah, I'm trying, man. You know, for sure. I'm gonna keep pushing though. You know what I mean? Ain't nothing stopping me unless I can't do nothing. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. Hey, tell everybody they can follow you on social media.
Yeah, so everybody can follow me just on Facebook. It's just Samuel Martin. You can follow my acting page at Samuel O. Martin. And then Instagram, SamSpade9091, at SamSpade9091. You know what I'm saying? You can shout out me anytime.
Samuel Martin, NBC, it's Chicago Fire. You might see him on Chicago Med, Chicago PD, Chicago Justice. Listen, follow him. And, bro, again, you welcome here anytime. Much success, man, and congratulations. Thanks for stopping past, bro. Much love.
Much love to you, bro. It was good talking to you. And tell the crew I said what's up as well, man. And be easy.
Hey, indeed, bro. Indeed. folks, it is Black History Month in America. And, you know, I just submit, you know, to folks all over the country, you know, pause for the cause. You know, think about the contributions, right? I mean, but think about this last year, 2020, to 2020. And right now, still, I mean, folks, people are still getting shot dead in the streets of America. Like, it's still happening. This is a marathon, folks. It's not a sprint. But what we want to do is continue to bring you positive people, places, and things, mostly people, right, and things who are making it happen, people who are, you know, really grinding barriers. They're going against the grain. You know, they press in their way. Because regardless of what we're up against, regardless of what we're dealing with, Sam just told us, don't let people tell you what you're unable to do. Anybody trying to talk you down from doing, you know, anything that you have set a goal to do, first of all, they are a freaking hater. So you need to separate yourself from haters. You know, anyone who's not rallying you on, anyone who's not encouraging you, because see, this is the deal. People who love you, they want to see you do well. People who love you want to see you accomplish goals. If someone is not rooting you on, you shouldn't be looking at them with a side eye. And if you're not looking at them, I'll be looking at them with a side eye. Because people who love you and care about you want you to do well. You have to recognize sometimes you want to go up with people, glow up with people, blow up with people who aren't able to go with you. I'll say it again. Sometimes we want to take people with us who are unable to go with us. Right? You better learn it sooner than later. Everybody can't go with you, specifically if they are not willing to put in the work with you. I'm just trying to help you. Happy Black History Month. Hey, here's 112, only you. We're about to get up out of here. It's 9:47. Social Lab, Team Hammer Radio.
Keep it real.
I thought I told you that we won't stop. I thought I told you that we won't stop. I thought I told you that we won't stop. I thought I told you that we won't stop. I thought I told you that we won't stop. I thought I told you that we won't stop. I thought I told you that we won't stop. I thought I told you that we won't stop.
Jesus, the notorious just. Please us with your lyrical thesis. We just chillin', milk 'em, top billin', silkin', pure linen, vegan, little seeds, Malibu sea breeze, Dawn peas, palm trees, cats named Pablo, and milked out Diablo, the williest, what? Bitches be the silliest, the more I smoke, the smaller the filly gets. Room 112, where the players dwell, and stash more cash than Bert Padel. Inhale, make you feel good like Tony, kick up in your middle like Moni.
Yeah.
She don't know me, but she's setting up to blow me.
Yeah.
Try to style, sliding off with a homie.
Yeah.
Escada, don gotta, player, stay splurging, game so tight, they call it version.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.
Radio.